we got this landmine right there.
You got this lawsuit. We got to go overcome. Yeah.
We got this sniper, you know, lookout over here. Like, we have a lot going against us that can hold us back from this mission. But guys, like, I'm putting everything in on this mission. I'm not giving up. Like, are you guys with me or not?
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. Guys, as you know, we own Easier Accounting. We have a new CEO in the office, Devin, who's taking control of operations, and he thought it would be cool to connect with you guys even a little more so than what we already do. And so we came up with this cool concept that if you guys have any entity questions, tax questions, bookkeeping questions, and you don't have a resource to communicate to, or if you have an accountant or CPA that just doesn't communicate well, feel free to shoot us a text message at 435-515-3577. We'll be happy to help any way that we can and serve in any capacity. So guys, as of the podcast for today, it's myself, Trevor Cowley, as usual, Kel Goodman.
What's up?
And we don't really have a guest. We have the guest of guests, you know. This is a two-time RBO podcast attendee or guest. What are you? Yeah, that's an attendee or a guest?
I was going to ask, have you had anyone else on the podcast?
Twice. Bob.
We did have Bob.
Okay. Yeah. He was starting to lose the weight and he was chopping away at it. He was down like 150 pounds. And I was like, yo, let's talk about that process. Right. And he was right here in the office. So it was just kind of easy. Like, hey, let's pop back in. But I think that you're kind of the only one that
outside of our
ecosystem employees, office, you know?
Yeah.
But I would say,
but dude, you deserve it, bro. Because like, let's be real. Like when we started our podcast, it was kind of like a weird thing, right? We're like, well, who would come be guests on our podcast? So obviously we hit up our homies first. Yeah. You've always been our homie and you're like, hell yeah, let's do it. Right. So now that our podcast has grown, you've started your own podcast. Everybody's grown. So like, why not have a refresher so that we can obviously share your wisdom with more people. You know what I mean?
Well, it's been 3 years. It's been 3 years and there's a lot of new listeners in 3 years. And some of those fuckers that are listening don't go all the way, you know, like they ain't going to episode one. And then
what
episode was it?
It was like I thought it was number 9 or something, like 8 or 9 or something. They're not starting at the very beginning. Yeah. Some people that just are catching us, they're just catching us now. And maybe you've only been listening for 10 episodes or 20 episodes. They don't know no D Blue. Like the OG listeners know D Blue.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But they about to fucking find out, aren't they?
Yeah, they definitely are.
So OG here has been through a lot in the last 3 years. Let's talk about that, bro. Like you still, same old stuff, helping motherfuckers get access to their money where they can invest it out of their retirement accounts. So that hasn't really changed in terms of the industry and the things that you do in business, correct?
Yeah, it's crazy. I was sitting right where you were sitting.
Yeah, I know.
3 years ago.
And I was sitting in where you were sitting 3 years ago.
I pulled up a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because I was like, I think it was July of 2019.
It was.
I pulled up the picture. And I was on this side of the table.
Yeah. We switched it up.
My arms were like as small as yours right now. So my arms have gotten bigger. And
they have. That's good. Dude, here's the thing. Yeah. No, hold up. Let me fucking rebuttal this, dude. Let me fucking send it, okay? Okay. Back in the day when I was all egotistical and I thought that was the everything, I thought I needed my arms to be bigger than yours, bro. So obviously I've outgrown that and you haven't. You still think that you need those big old fuckers to swing around to actually be meaningful in life, bro. Like I accept you for who you are, not your arm size.
A quick little like hit for hit can settle if it matters or not, right? Like, because it does matter if you can hit harder, bro. Doesn't matter the size. It matters, like, you know, the dynamite that comes in that package, bro.
Package. Yeah, you were a little scrawnier, no doubt, and I was probably a little bigger. So we've not only have we swapped chairs, we've swapped probably weight and bicep size. So we've swapped a lot.
Bodies.
And my shorts are definitely higher now.
They're shorter than they used to be, dude. Yeah, You're a runner now.
Yeah.
You know, so, but for real, let's talk a little bit about what you do. Let's educate them real quick. And then let's go into some of the shit that you've had to go through the last 3 years, because there's been some dark moments. And also, I want to highlight those dark moments, because it just is what it is. That's just part of business. And that gets tucked away. Not a lot of people really communicate that part of business. But what I like about it is that you've emerged a better version of yourself. Like you've hit the darkest and the lowest moments. And just like you did when you used drugs and you overcame drugs, you were at a low point. And what'd you do? You created a better version of yourself. In business, you hit a low moment, you popped out and you created a better version of yourself. And in Texas, just like a month and a half ago, we were sitting there wherever we were, whether it was at dinner or at that place that you were riding the bull. Whatever that was called,
you know, your birthday.
It was your birthday bull ride or whatever. But, I don't know if you remember this. I turned to you and I said, bro, you look fucking good, dude. You're putting in the work. And I said, that just means you've been through some fucking dark ass shit. Yeah. And you like looked at me like with that same ass stupid smile, see, you know, and you're like, kind of like, bro, you have no idea. Yeah. It was dark there for a minute. Yeah. And we haven't really even dug into that, into like me and you, personally, even off the microphone, right? And so, but like, I know you don't go that extreme in the opposite unless you've been to that extreme in terms of a negative place, right? That negative place is so dark and so hard to live that you're willing to do anything, even if it is exhaust yourself and create a rigorous routine and hold yourself accountable. That's easier than living in that dark place, right? And the only reason why I know that is because I've been there. Right. When you're in a dark place, you either emerge out better or you just stay in a dark place. Right. And so, tell them what you do and let's go over a lot of the things that have, cause a lot happens in 3 years in business. Right.
Yeah. And, I'm at a point where I can talk about that.
Yeah.
Now
because, yeah. That, exactly. Yeah. Cause you look fucking good. Your arms are nice and you wear beautiful short shorts. Your confidence is there.
Well, if we would have had this podcast a year ago, I was in the thick of the legal battle.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really able to talk about it, but now. Yeah. I'm all done with that, right? So if we go back to where I was sitting in that chair 3 years ago, I was a year into business and I was just thinking, man, this is great, right? Like you're just so naive, right? It's just so naive.
This is awesome. I'm a business owner. You wear that badge with pride.
Yeah.
And the veteran's like.
Because a year before that, I was a salesperson, you know, kick-ass salesperson.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with money. I didn't grow up wanting to become a business owner, but I think you guys can relate to this and a lot of people listening to the podcast can relate to this. You're a badass salesperson, made good money, and then you're like, I want to be the captain of my own ship. I want to run my own show. Right. Mm-hmm. Why not start my own business, right? So that was me 4 years ago. So a year into it, though, I ended up having a really bad partner breakup. And that was tough, man. Just I thought I would be in business with this person forever.
Yeah.
Like we were close. I really, truly thought this was going to be a partner that was going to be in business with me for a really long time. But we just had completely different visions. And it was just a divorce that ended really bad. And it got so bad that attorneys and lawyers and litigation had to get in the picture. And that was such an eye-opening experience, guys. Mm-hmm. I've never been sued before. I've never had to sue somebody before. I laughed along the way. I think someone said something along the lines of, you're not a real business owner unless you've been sued. Right? So got that box checked off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now you are.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's why we wanted to have you back on the show. We want to congratulate you. You're now a real business owner.
Yeah.
You've been through a lawsuit.
I thought if I just put serial entrepreneur that on my bio.
Dude.
And
nine out of ten times it'll work.
Yeah.
But the real motherfuckers just see through it.
Damn. You so know? Yeah, going through attorneys and litigation, it's a 3-year battle. And it was mid 6 figures that I spent. And then COVID happened, right? So all these things happen. And now that I look back at it, it just was a test, right? It was, let's see if you are actually made for being a business owner. Game.
Yeah.
And there was definitely times, I think COVID was probably one of those times where I got in a funk. And I think, I forgot, one of you guys called me. You're like, dude, I haven't seen you post on social for a minute. Like, where are you? And I'm pretty sure my hair looked like the dude from Brady Bunch. Like, I hadn't got my hair cut. Poof, like, yeah, dude, because the barbers were closed. Like, you know,
I've never seen your hair like that
before. I'm in Vegas, right?
It looked like a weird bowl cut.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I'm not
it was meant like for everything was Latino, fucked up in his life. Even his hair.
You look like a Latino Justin Bieber, yeah, dude. Like hair in your eyes.
And I can't even pull the Justin Bieber look. Like it's just the hair is just bad, right? So I haven't got a haircut, haven't been able to go to the gym. You know, I'm probably 150 grand deep in legal bills at this time. Business slowed down a little bit. Next thing you know, we're working remote and not in person. And I just
isolation.
Yeah,
on top just, of all of that.
Yeah. And because I've been able to surround myself with people like you guys, and I look at someone like my mom, if I kind of look at my backstory, I grew up middle class, not poor, not rich. But when I was 12 years old, my parents got divorced. Yeah. And my dad ended up moving to Mexico when I was 12 years old and just pretty much just said peace out. And now it's just my mom and I. And we struggled financially. There was times, and this is why we're doing this podcast right now in St. George, Utah. I have a really soft place in my heart for St. George, Utah. I ended up graduating from high school out here because I was doing really bad in California. My mom and I actually lived in a hotel.
Really there. Bad as in what? Like you were just causing trouble running around with the wrong crew.
Alcohol, when you, smoking weed, ditching school.
My mom she was sending you away to try to provide a better opportunity.
Yeah, she's
for
like,
you.
Dude, if you
at
don't.
At what age was that?
16.
Okay.
If you do not move, you're going to end up in jail or die. And you're my only son. I can't see that happen. And my mom never complained, dude. She was a social worker, always went to work. I never caught her crying. I never caught her talking shit about my dad because my dad didn't pay child support. Like he peaced out physically, financially, emotionally, everything. Mm-hmm. And she never complained, about working too much or I'm tired. And I credit that mentality when I'm a business owner and just trying not to complain, trying not to be a victim. Like, man, why is this partnership happening to me? Partner breakup happening. Man, why is COVID happening to me? So I credit things like that with my mom taught me. And just some resiliency. And that's why I can appreciate doing some of the shit that we're doing now in terms of the running and things like that. Cause like, dude, it definitely is it's a mind fuck and it tests you.
There's one valuable lesson in there. Okay. Because I've also been sued a couple times. I've never sued anybody, but I've been sued a few times, right? One by ex-employer, another one by a neighbor, stupid shit, you know, the roof, talked about it before. But bro, why do they always last 2 to 3 fucking years?
Man.
So, you don't want to get sued if you don't have to, because it's literally like a 3-year hell, you know? It's this legal system is so slow and it just is so draining.
Yeah.
Financially and emotionally.
And I'm glad that you bring that up because I think about the pain I've experienced and what are some lessons that I can extract from that. Number one, there's a really good book called Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman.
I've read that.
And the book is about an integrator and a visionary, right? And they use the example of Disney, right? Everyone knows Walt. That's the visionary. He's the brand. He's the face. He's the marketer, right?
Yeah.
But no one knows behind the scenes. The integrator was his brother, I believe. Mm-hmm. And his brother ran the show, right? So a healthy business or a business that's just dope usually we'll have a visionary integrator, right? Like you guys are both those things, right? I didn't read that book prior to getting in business, and I really wish I would have read that book before getting into business, signing an operating agreement, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. So I always, if I look back at where I was and where I'm now, if someone were to ask me about businesses and partnership and, you know, should I get in business with someone, like, dude, it's a marriage. It's almost like go get some pre-marital counseling before you say I do to really make sure it's the right fit.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing to argue and fight about, you know, in the beginning stages. It's just all like
honeymoon phase.
Yeah, the honeymoon phase. That's what I was looking for. It's a honeymoon phase. But when there's millions and millions and millions of dollars coming in and there's problems and there's issues and there's multiple minds thinking about the problems and the issues, it does become difficult. Without a doubt, it is very difficult, and you have to be able to, dude, me and Kel have had our battles. We've had our battles. We're both very stubborn. We're both very hard-headed, but that's also why what's made us pretty successful as well.
You're stubborn? And,
I would say not as much as I used to be, you know, like I'm pretty open-minded. You know?
We never fought about money though.
We've never fought about money. It's just different ways of doing business. The idea, but our North Star is still the same North Star. We just have different routes of how sometimes we see getting there. But then anytime that we actually sit down and communicate the align, that's really what happens is my guess is maybe your guys' communication deteriorated. And then at that point, you know, it was unfixable. you know, with us, when our communication deteriorated, our visions started to deteriorate and move away from each other. And then when we communicate again, they come back together to where I'm like, oh, well, now I see why you wanted to do that, because he can put an explanation behind it. And then maybe he can say, oh, well, now I see why you were saying that, because I put an explanation behind it. And then you come back together. So my guess is it was just probably a communication issue where there was too much separation going on there towards the end there. But and so that's a lesson for a lot of people, is just keep communication at a high level and create some sort of routine or circumstance, whether it's meeting once a week, you know, because we weren't really meeting once a week or anything at that point in time. Yeah. We were kind of separate, you know, going in two different directions, focusing on two different things. And so communication is the biggest key in anything, whether it's a partnership or actual real relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, it really doesn't matter. But so after you went through, or you were going through that, then they said, go home. Did you just flat, because you had a routine at one point prior to that, and then you stopped the routine and you stopped going to work and you were going through the legal battle. So it just seemed like everything was kind of down on you at one time. Like the gym's taken away, this is taken away.
Yeah. I also had to write
a barber was taken away.
I had to write a, I actually ended up using or resorting to my Mexican roots, and I just grabbed a buzzer and I just buzzed my head, dude. It was so bad. So around that same time too, I had to write a $100,000 check to buy out of my lease. You guys were at my office, right? That office was big.
Yeah.
And now we can't use the office. Yeah. And we don't know how long we're going to be able to not use, you know, or actually, you know, use the space. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, dude, this thing is draining me. I'm paying, exactly. I was paying like $14,000 a month.
Yeah.
So, okay, pay a big chunk of money up front and bite the bullet, or keep paying, you know, X amount of money every month, $14,000 every month, and see what happens. Yeah. Right. So
they didn't do anything to you guys when COVID hit and you couldn't go to the office. They still wanted their
rent. They're just like, you don't have to pay rent this month, but they're just going to tack that shit on.
They're like, you have to extend your lease for every month you don't pay.
Right.
It's like when the bank sends you those little things. Hey, skip a car payment. It's like, no, you're not skipping payment. Yeah.
It's not called skipping if I made the same
adding
amount.
It with more interest, you know?
I'm skipping
Dude, I'll bet they came out really well on that, bro. You like wrote a big fat check. COVID inflated everything. They put a new person in there at higher rent than before, and they got your freaking.
I'm grateful that they were able to work with me on that, you know?
What was best for you at the time.
It was
well,
messy.
It just seems like in disarray, dude, there was a lot of things that you had to button up or figure out how to address, and the office space was just one thing. I mean, there was... what employees am I keeping? What employees are going? What, you know, I mean, there was just a lot of unanswered questions there for a short period of time. And it seems as though you put the train back on the tracks very, very well. And that you've got a pretty cool office, because we've been there. We were there last week recording a podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us use that, by the way. Saved us some money from some other podcast studio. But I think, that forced you to start a podcast, kept nudging you for about 2 years to fucking start it. And then you finally did it.
I know.
You know? So at least we get a benefit. Maybe that's why we wanted to have them start a podcast, so we can do podcasts in Vegas. Yeah. Tell them the name of your podcast as well, just so that people have the ability to connect with you there if they just want to continue to hear some of that D Blue shit.
Yeah, it's called How Winners Win. And it's funny, when I was thinking about the podcast name, I remember going back and forth texting you, because I was just throwing some different names. And dude, you should be a rapper, bro, like a freestyler. Like, you just come up with these one-liners, like, you know.
You got to be a rapper doesn't just do one-liners. There's multiple lines.
I know, so I don't know if you're quite a rapper or if you're just like...
I'm a one-liner.
A one-liner. I mean, like, I'll be making fun of you. I'm like, dude, your legs are small, bro. Did you ever do legs? Like, you used to do squat? And you're just like, bro, I'm cut up from the butt up. Like, where do you come up with this shit?
Just off the top of the dome piece, bro. When I'm being attacked, my brain fucking does the work for me. I have no idea where it comes
from. So shout out to Trevor. You were a big part in, and you know, Kale too, helping me get the podcast going. But, you know, you guys helped me come up with the name too. And that's been a lot of fun. I definitely took advice from you guys in the sense.
Yeah, how has it benefited you? I want to know that, in terms of whether it's personal growth, business growth, like where do you see, you know, the most?
One would be my ability to communicate. Okay. I bet you if you guys were to listen to me on the podcast on RBO 3 years ago,
yeah,
the way I'm talking now is probably a lot better than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just reps, right? It's just getting in front of a microphone, getting in front of a camera. So just communicating. That's number one.
Just like Trev with his comebacks, bro. He's been doing that shit since childhood. He's been talking.
He came out the womb talking shit. Okay,
hold up, motherfuckers. Check this out. If I'm so good at talking shit, when somebody talks shit back, what does that mean? Let's break it down to the origin. Let's go all the way back. That means people been talking shit to me ever since I was born, motherfucker. And so I've had to learn how to defend myself.
You got a lot of siblings. We were little guys in middle school and exactly shit. Exactly right. You get a lot of heat when you're the little guy in middle school, bro. It starts in middle school. Everybody's little in elementary school, but when you get to middle school, everyone sprouts but you.
You've got to be able to defend yourself, bro. So if I'm good at fast talking shit rebuttals when you talk shit, that just means I have way more experience than you because I've had to defend myself for many more years than you. That's just what it is.
Yeah. If you don't have knockout power in your arm, you got to have it in your words, bro.
Yeah. When my arms are getting smaller, I better get wittier. You know what I'm saying? So these miles underneath me ain't making my arms any bigger. That's for certain.
Oh, it's true though, dude. You spend enough time on a microphone in front of a camera, putting in the reps, you just get better.
Yeah.
You know, I wish everybody knew that because it's like something like this can help everyone's business, but they're so scared that they're going to suck. And it's like, well, you are going to suck. But
well, imagine us now, right now versus how we all felt on the first one that we did. Yeah. We were probably all nervous on the first one. Even us, even though it's our podcast, it's still only episode 6. Like we had all the fucking.
That's why we called our homies to be like, our bro, first few guests, bro.
Hey, Danny, if we fuck up, you cool with that? Yeah, dude, you cool? Yeah, dude, we cool. Come on up. Let's try to talk on some microphones and see what happens. And here we are.
Yeah. You know? So if you really want to get better at speaking and get more confidence, starting a podcast is a great way to do that. Two would be the connections. So because of the podcast, I mean, here in the next couple months, I'm speaking on two different stages and they were two guests of mine. And it wasn't, hey, come on my podcast so I can get business from you. Yeah. It was, dude, I think you have a cool ass story. Jump on the podcast and then we just stay connected. We just stay talking. One person I'm going to be on their stage here in November, he was on my podcast like episode 30 and we're episode 70, 75. Yeah. So we've been doing it over a year. So the connections and networking has been huge. And then I've definitely taken a play out of your guys' playbook with this is I think you guys said, we're not going to judge the podcast for at least 2 years, like 2 years.
We said like 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. So I don't give a shit about my downloads. I don't care really about any of that. I just care about putting consistent quality content for the people like my mom and only my mom that listen to my podcast.
Mom, you know I'm getting better.
I've always thought you were great, Danny. Danny actually had his mom on his podcast. Me and Trev thought that was cool shit on Mother's Day. That was really cool.
I got an awesome co-host. Shout out to Keita. We got Keita's mom on the podcast and then my mom on the podcast. And what was really cool is Keita's dad died when he was young. Yeah. Right, I think right about 10, 11 years old. And then my dad was gone after I was 12. So it was like, all right, moms, how fucked up were we? We made your lives miserable. Let's talk about that.
How did you survive?
Yeah.
You know, please tell us. We're trying to survive business. We don't know how you survived us. That's business is much easier. No, I thought.
Go listen to that episode. You know, everyone can figure out how moms can breed entrepreneurs.
No,
right?
I thought that was cool. But let's highlight that real quick or talk about that just for a second because, you know, how many other things do people start and judge within 2 months or 3 months or 6 months when we went into a podcast and saying, let's not judge it for 3 to 5 years. So are you really going into whatever it is that you're going into with the right expectations? Like that's literally like starting to exercise and then getting frustrated in 30 days. But if you went into it overweight and you said, I need to commit to this thing for like just 12 months, like all out commit for a 12 month period, whatever the timeline is, but like set a timeline that you're going to all out commit and just honor that to see what result that has the ability to provide. So we went into this saying, let's give it 3 to 5 years. Let's not judge it. From there, if we're just wasting our fucking time, it'll be completely obvious in 3 to 5 years. If it's starting to get traction, cool. If it already has traction, awesome. But nobody starts a podcast thinking that their podcast is going to eventually be a top 1% business podcast. You hope for it. But in the back of your mind, just to protect your ego, you're like, not really. In order for, like, it's a protection thing. Like you kind of dream, but then you say in the back of your mind, well, maybe not, like that probably won't happen though. And that's just a way to protect you from being hurt. But
what, it's probably like, a waste of time.
Yeah, it's probably a waste of time. But
then you're utilizing it as this tool. It's benefiting to you in all these different areas. Exactly like right. Growth, getting better on a microphone, putting in reps, better on camera, networking with people, coming on. Now you're getting stages. You know what I mean? It's like, even if you only ever had 100 listeners, right? The whole time. It's like, it was still worth it because of all the connections, everything that you made.
But that's the idea, is no matter, like people are judging something that they're still growing from, but maybe just not in the one area that they wanted to grow on a financial aspect. That's because they're not looking at all the other areas where it's benefiting them or it's serving them. What about masterminds? How many motherfuckers join masterminds and within 3 months, right? This is not, I'm not benefiting from this. Like I have to be getting value. Did you get fucking value when you started your business within 3 months, just like that? Like, did you, like, think about that for a second. Are we playing the long fucking game, or are we literally judging things in such a minute, small period of time all the time? You see what I'm saying? Because, like, after 6 months or a year or 2 years in a same mastermind, the relationships and the network that you have the ability to curate is unlike anything else.
Right.
You know, like you've been in masterminds, you've curated a lot of amazing relationships just as we have. You understand the power of putting time behind a certain activity, whether it's exercise, right? Or whether it's a podcast or whether it's masterminding. Right? You're not judging things within a 30-day period or a 90-day period. And I think that a lot of people have to get better, one, at increasing the effort, and two, setting a longer runway for something to show what it has the ability to do in their life or in their business, right? Talk about your climb back out. Let's talk about your climb back out, because you eventually had to say, fuck. Maybe you found a mirror and you saw yourself and you're like, fuck, I need to shave my head. That was the starting point of like, fuck, I need to get back on my feet. And maybe it started with shaving my head and putting pants on that day. I don't know. But what was the climb back out and what was the process? Was it right when the gym started opening again? And then you're like, great, I can get a routine. Did you start climbing out before that and creating it? Like, what was the shift from the dark hole, the world's crumbling down, to I'm going to fight back and start taking control a little bit? Because I've seen that shift and I'm wondering what that really looked like from the hole to where you are now, because it's two different places.
Yeah. So full context, my mid-20s, I'm 33. So my mid-20s, when I started thinking about becoming a business owner and I took that leap, it was more of, man, I just want to make sure that I can set myself up financially and my mom. Because I got to pay back moms. Like my mom put me on her back and she's just the shit, right? So like that's always been my motivation, right? So when I got to the bottom of the hill, and it was like the lowest of the low moments, we talked about spending a lot of money in attorney fees, buying out of my lease, you know, the whole COVID thing. Dude, I was checking my bank account, like my business bank account every day. Like every day, just because I'm like, am I going to go overdraft? Am I going to go in the negative today? Like I clearly remember times where I had to take money from my personal bank account and just deposit money in my business bank account.
Yeah.
Like $2,000 at a time.
Yeah.
Right. We're not talking about a lot of money. Like I'm on fumes. Right. And I just remember again, thinking about, okay, should I quit? Should I go get a sales job somewhere else? Like,
were you thinking about us trying to tell you to start a different company? Remember when we were in your ear and saying, bro, we'll help you start this company.
Yeah.
We'll help you start credit repair. We'll help you do this or that.
And I definitely thought about that too.
Yeah.
I also know that I have something special in the sense of the idea of accessing money in a retirement account penalty and tax-free. It's there. People just don't know about it.
That's true.
And two things helped me climb out of the hole, Trevor. One was being a better leader with my team, because how I grew up, and Kale, you and I worked with a lot of the same people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times I remember working as an employee and seeing, you know, the Tyler Trumans, rest in peace to Tyler Truman, and, you know, these crazy ass baller sales leaders, they would withhold a lot of information, right? Like, if a lead got shut down or something happened, they didn't want the sales floor to know, because like they just wanted everything to look rosy, right? Like there's just a lot of things behind closed doors. And I think a lot of that rubbed off on me. So I didn't want to scare my team when shit was hitting the fan, right? Mm. And I think through enough personal development and reading books and being around masterminds and badass people like you guys, I got to a point where I'm like, dude, I got to find out who my ride or dies are. Like, I need to just
got
to
be vulnerable.
I just got to let them know, guys, this is the mission.
We're struggling.
Yeah, this is the mission. But these are the risks that are going to hold us back from accomplishing this mission. We got this landmine right there.
We got this lawsuit we got to overcome. Yeah.
We got this sniper, you know, lookout over here. Like, we have a lot going against us that can hold us back from this mission. But guys, like, I'm putting everything in on this mission. I'm not giving up. Like, are you guys with me or not? And once I was able to really get that transparent with my team, I did just like shit clicked. I was able to figure out and realize like who my ride or dies were and who had my six, and they knew I had their six, and we got tighter. And it was almost like a sports team that went on a really bad losing streak. And there's a lot of finger pointing, a lot of fighting, but then you get a win and then another win. And eventually we start climbing out of that hole. So number one is just me being a better leader, a better communicator, explaining the vision and just being more real with them. And getting over that fear of, man, I don't want to scare them. I remember there was a time where I was like, man, I don't want to tell them this because I don't want them to be scared. But then I was like, dude, they need to know this. And I told them, and they didn't react the way I thought they were going to react. And then guess what? They had a better idea to get out of that problem than I did.
Exactly right.
Because we have this ego where we're like, let me be the one to problem solve. Mm-hmm. And no, my job is to gather my core leaders together. Who has the best idea? And let's execute that. Mm. I don't give a shit if it's from you. It's probably not going to come from me.
Just calling the meeting here. I'm going to let you guys chat it out.
Right? So doing things like that. And then I remember I started to write a book. And me and Kale went back and forth on this a while back. Is I made a commitment to write a book. I started to write the book. And halfway into writing the book, I'm going through the lawsuit bullshit. And I stopped writing the book.
Yeah.
And I just remember trying to write the book again. And I just never was able to do it. I would block off my calendar. I'd go in my office. I'd start. Next thing you know, a fire happened. I need to put it out. An employee came in my office and we had to handle something, right? And I just got always off track. And I just remember I was like, I need to stop messing around. And I did 75 hard. And that was early last year. I did 75 hard. And during 75 hard is when I finished my book. We started to creep out, man. 2020, we got kicked in the dick. Cameron Montgomery, good friend of ours. That's a saying he always likes to say.
2021 was go gadget dick. He loves saying that. Something good happens. No.
2021, I still got kicked in the dick, but not as hard. Like 2020 was like.
2022 is go gadget.
Yeah, dick. Man. Gotcha. Like we turned a corner. Like we last month we had our best month that we've had. I had to actually look in our Salesforce CRM to see how back far this was. 2019 of October was the last month that we had that type of month. And we had that last month.
Hell yeah.
And
that's got to feel fucking good with where you're at right now, physically, mentally.
I don't have to check the bank. I don't got to check the bank account every day.
You ain't putting no $2,000 in from the personal side no more. Shit's back, baby.
No more capital calls. You know, usually there's a capital call. You got to raise. You're the only member.
Yeah. My wife's 1%. Hey, babe, I need you to take.
I'm putting $1,000 in. You owe a dollar or $10. Yeah.
She's Asian. We'd flip that around. You know what I'm saying? She'd put more money into me.
let me ask you this serious question. Do you think that you would have went through that in the same way that you did go through that with the Danny Blue that you are right now? You know what I mean? Like if you kept the regimen that you have right now, your habits and your routine, some way, some shape or form, and all that shit happened, do you feel as though that the outcome would have been different, or do you think that it wouldn't have mattered? Like if COVID happened again and you kept this routine and you started going back into that, do you think that you would fight the fight differently?
Yeah. And I think that's why two things you have to do. Experience is massive. Right. There's a difference between going through it and having someone tell you.
Explain it. Like saying getting kicked in the dick, like where we just laughed about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all funny, but like, that's like a real thing and it's fucking hurts in business. Yeah.
I mean, I lost like $200,000 in 2020.
Yeah.
If you told me, hey, man, you might have a year where you lose $200,000 and you try to think about that is a lot different than actually going Living through it. Yeah. It hits a lot different, right?
It's easy to say, well, yeah, if I had success before that, like it'd be okay losing a couple hundred grand 1 year to rebound and da-da. But the question is most, it's not the question, a statement is most people wouldn't be able to rebound.
No. So I know if I were to experience, if you were to tell me, hey, Blue, in the next couple of years, what you went through a couple of years ago, you're going to experience again. Dude, I would fight that fight a lot different because one, I have a lot more experience on my side. I know how to handle some challenging times. And then two, I'm just in a different place mentally. Like I have a different regimen. I'm making different choices. But I think that's why people, if you're listening to this right now and you haven't made a commitment to surround yourself and invest into a mastermind like RBO, Real Business Owners, or any kind of mastermind.
Yeah,
like, dude, you're cheating yourself because I would not have been able to go through what I went through if I wasn't able to rely on people like you guys, right? Like, dude, in the depths of my hell, like I remember calling Kale and just asking for some advice, right? Like you get that kind of love when you're in a mastermind because I know someone like Kale, someone like you guys have been there. You've been through that experience, and dude, masterminds are all about giving back, man. Like there's no shade just because, you know, you do $1 million a year and someone does $5 million a year in business. The person that does $5 million a year is still going to talk to you and give you advice.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's rare. Yeah. It's really rare that you have someone in those environments that's like, you know, the guy that's just trying to tear people down. Like everybody wants you to win. Right. And when you feel that, because most people, when they start a business, that's one of their biggest problems is like, hey, my family doesn't understand me. They keep telling me to have a backup plan or I shouldn't be doing this. And it's just like, but in the mastermind, like everyone's like, nah, man, you know, like you need to pivot here and we're rooting you on. And hey, do you want to get on my stage and my podcast? And you know what I mean? Like everybody's like rooting each other on and trying to just give value to you because they know that the true benefit of giving value is that it just enhances their life as well. Right. And like, so you create that environment, man. It's just so valuable. And so, dude, I'm blessed to be in your ecosystem, bro. Even before we were in masterminds, because I remember that call where you were like, hey, what do you think about the Stuman guy? I was like, that guy's an idiot, bro. Stay away from that guy. You know, but then we're both in his mastermind because you got us in that mastermind or you got us on the phone to do a sponsorship with him. And it's been so valuable, especially seeing how much he's grown, right? Because he was kind of an asshole to me that first time. But
he'll be the first one to admit it, too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah, he does.
That's not talking shit because he'll say, I was an asshole.
Yeah.
But like even before that, bro, like when we were networking in the same channels, like it was just like, oh, dude, you know, I got this guy. I think he'd be a perfect fit for you. Let me introduce you. Like we were introducing and giving each other value even before that. And so you've always been a great networker. You've always added value to our life, even when we were going through tough times. And so it's always been super valuable. But dude, being in the masterminds with you, multiple of them stuff, it's been phenomenal. Some of them you're in, you referred me to that lady I talked to today. That's from a mastermind I'm not a part of, but you are, you know? And then we've met people like in Avengers, be like, dude, you need to connect with Blue. Yeah. But anyway, so when you're in the mastermind ecosystem, you're in one, two, or even three of them. Like it's weird, bro. Like the world really becomes a lot smaller of winners.
The funny thing is because we've joined multiple, we see some of the same faces at multiple. And then it's like Kale said, at the top, it does get smaller at the top. And when I say top, it's just really people that are willing to invest into themselves. Yeah. Like if we really break it down, the people that invest the most into self are the ones at the top because self is the one that's doing everything, whether it's through your business, whether it's your personal life, spiritual life, financial, it doesn't matter. Self, are you getting better as a human being, right? And all of those people are investing in getting better by one, proximity, two, information. They want to be around good people and around good information and individuals that are of growth because they know where that the value is in that. Danny's in a different one. Like, let's say, for instance, we're both in two different masterminds, but we meet somebody that's only in one different mastermind. We're like, oh, dude, you got to meet so-and-so that's in this other mastermind, just basically what he just did. And so the fact is when you go to one mastermind and you have other people that are go to other masterminds that's in that mastermind, your network continues to expand without you even having to expand your network because you know one person, which is Danny Blue, and Danny Blue's constantly getting to know more people and has your best interest at heart. So therefore, he's thinking about you behind the scenes as well. Like, oh, well, I can't really benefit from this, but you should talk to my boy Kel, you know, and just really being an amazing connector. And you've always been an amazing connector in that regard. But
true that, true that.
So again, the climb out, bro. The climb out. You first rallied the troops. You were honest with your team. Your team started rallying around you. So you've decided to become vulnerable. And in doing so, it shows your human side, because sometimes employees separate themselves. That's the boss. You're not a human. You're the boss. You see what I'm saying? So you're they create that barrier in some cases. So taking the wall down through vulnerability and being like, guys, this is what we're up against. We're struggling. Like, shows your human side, and there's an easier ability to connect. Therefore, they rally around you, right? But let's talk about, you know, your regimen now versus what it was, and you going up to that, because it's obviously a lot different than what it was even 6 months ago or a year ago in terms of your daily habits, right?
Yeah, I would say now it's waking up and just not even thinking about what I'm doing, because I know what I'm doing. And it's funny to even say that, but it's just, I'm just a machine in the sense of I just know, and my body knows what it's going to do because it's a routine.
You don't even have to think. You go to bed, you already know what you're doing the next morning.
Yeah.
There's zero question about what you're doing.
Yeah. I love.
And there's peace in that.
Yeah. There's a meme I love where it says something along the lines of, you know, when you're older and you go to a party and it's like 9 o'clock at night, like you're excited to like sneak out of the party instead of sneaking out of your house to go to the party, right? Like you're at the party.
Everything fucking flip-flops, bro. Right. We can't wait to be in big groups of people and be seen and heard.
Like,
you know, as a young kid. And then as you're older, you're like, fuck.
It's like 9:30 and I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, babe, it feels so good to be home, doesn't it? Like in our bed. Like imagine right now we could be at a bar drinking, like, but we're in our bed. It feels so great. Right. So it's just making choices like that. And, I really feel like I've turned a corner probably over the last few months, being able to, and it's crazy, man, adding the cardio, dude, like adding the running to my mix has just been a complete game changer, because I've been hitting it pretty hard. I would say I did 75 hard last year. I was telling you guys about that. Finished my book. Mm-hmm. That was cool. And then after I did 75 hard, I kind of let the foot off the gas for a little bit, because, you know, I'm confident. I'm like, I wrote my book. I did 75 hard. Like, yeah, I'm the shit, right? And I think that's a good lesson, because when you complete something like that, you always have to make sure there's something else after, right? And I didn't really have something else after. So I just kind of was just going through the routine, just in the weight room, you know, still doing business, things like that. But then this year, I really started focusing on just being more consistent in the gym, but then adding the cardio, man. And it was just really crazy how it worked out. Travis Chappell, shout out to Travis. He hit me up on Facebook. He's like, bro, let's do this challenge. It's a 100-mile run for the month of June. And I forgot what the challenge was for. Like, all I saw was 100 miles. I'm like, dude, I got to get in cardio shape, because I play soccer. At least I try to play soccer. Mm-hmm. We Kale and I talk about playing indoor soccer, and I really like playing indoor soccer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, I got to get my cardio up. So I'm like, I'll do the 100 miles, Travis. Let's do 100 miles in the month of June. So the
like
very
3 miles a day.
Yeah. The very
every day.
The very first day that I do a run in June is on my birthday in Dallas with you guys. And
it was 3 miles, not two. Don't lie.
I know. I corrected myself now because I thought it was two. Miles. So it was 3 miles. And that same day, Trevor told me, he's like, bro, I'm about to send 38 miles for my birthday next month. And there's just something about Trevor. Like, if he does 100 pull-ups, like, you can't do 99 pull-ups. Like,
I did 110.
Yeah.
You can't. I told you we were doing 100.
So
he gets up on the pull-up bar. We're doing 40. I laughed at him. I said, we're doing a fucking 100. And by 100, I mean,
well, I mean, when you weigh 130 pounds, it's easy to do 110 pound, you know, pull-ups, right?
You want
to
fuck with Trevor, dude. You just tell him, bro, I don't think you're counting right. And you were skipping. You were adding some reps in on there.
That fucks with me, bro.
I really thought he was at CrossFit one time, we was doing ring push-ups, and I was like, we had this whole circuit we were doing, and I was like, bro, I swear you was like counting double on a few of those, bro. Yeah. Like, I was counting, and he's like, screw that, we're doing the same workout tomorrow again, you're gonna count every rep. So he made me stand there and count every rep to make sure he got the same time.
And I did.
You know, I'm gonna do that again next time, dude. It's kind of funny.
I can see that happening. So
tell me I didn't run 38. Bullshit. Let's go out right now.
Well, drive it. Reset my odometer.
Yeah. Start over.
So when you told me you're gonna do 38 miles the next month, I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. So the last 6 weeks, I've had that in mind, and I haven't slowed down hitting the weights. So that's been a challenge, is just still lifting heavy in the gym. Still trying to eat right.
I mean, heavy's relative. I mean, your heavy, my heavy are two different things. But
I know. Danny's lifting some heavy ass shit. Yeah.
I was talking shit, saying it's light.
But before that, I will say, before I started running, I started cutting, because I was about 200 pounds
You were bulking.
Yeah, like January, February, March of this year, I was 200 pounds. And I was tired of just like not being cut. Mm. So I started to.
He looked like a Michelin man one time when I saw you. I was like, God, he's letting himself go.
It was funny, dude. We were in Dallas one day and Trevor comes up. And if you're cool with Trevor, like he'll give you a big hug, right? And this motherfucker like rubs my belly. You remember that?
Yeah. I'm almost fucking getting large, bro.
He literally rubbed my belly. Like, he put his hand underneath my shirt.
I'd let him know it was skin to skin. I know there's extra skin there that wasn't there last time I saw him.
Right.
Yeah. So, he was just saying, do you want massage?
Yeah.
That's what he's really saying.
So,
I get in your head with that?
No.
Obviously, a little bit.
We're talking about it right now.
So after that, I got home. I was like, babe, I'm cutting.
I didn't get in your head at all.
I started learning about calories and intake and you know, taking in protein. And then for about 3 months, I started eating about 2,200, 2,300 calories a day. And that was rough because I was eating 3,000.
But what's the purpose of trying to do this, like on the physical side? Were you like sick of your physical shape, or were you like, I need to get my mind in order and you just do it through the physical aspect? Or do you really just want a nice body?
It's a little bit of both, man. I got pictures in my house of me and my wife 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were in Hawaii and I had a six pack, man. And I see that shit every day.
Hanging up at your house.
Yeah.
The reason why she hasn't replaced is because.
Right.
Got worse with age. I was rubbing your belly that 1 week.
Yeah. She's like, I'll never put a picture over this picture.
Yeah.
Back, remember when Danny had abs in fucking 96? Yeah.
She's like, fuck that. I'm going to make it 2022.
But then.
We're going to redo that pick.
I'm a stubborn, competitive dude. Yeah. I played sports my whole life. So I do love challenges. That's probably why when you said I'm doing 38, you didn't ask me to do 38, but I'm like, I want to do it. Right? So I do seek challenges. So when I answer your question as far as why did I cut, there was a challenge aspect too, to test me mentally. So I did that for about 3 months and I got down to about 185. And the next thing you know, it's June and I'm preparing to run 38 miles in one day and I'm not a runner. Right. So it's been pretty grueling.
You are now.
Yeah, definitely now.
Would you say you identify as a runner now?
Yes. And what's that book?
So in 6 weeks, you went from I'm not a runner. 6 weeks later, you're going to run 38 miles and you identify as a runner. So it shows you in a short period of time, if you change your habits, your identity can change too. And so not enough people realize all you have to do is adopt the habits of that you want. That's it. If you're not a reader, just start fucking reading and you'll eventually become a reader. You just do it consistently enough over a period of time and therefore you will become a reader. Whether it's a runner, a reader, it don't matter what it is.
Yeah, what's that book? And I think you guys probably read it. Is it Atomic Habits? Mm-hmm. And they talk about wanting to stop smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And it just takes taking action like day one, like you stop smoking, right? Let's just say you've smoked cigarettes for 20 years and you went one day without smoking. The next day you identify as, I'm not a smoker. Yeah. I'm not a smoker. Yeah. Right, because if you identify as, man, I'm trying to get off freaking Marlboros. Yeah, I'm trying to get off Camels. I'm trying to stop. Right. Versus, nah, dude, I'm not a smoker. Mm. Right, so, dude, probably a week into running, I was like, dude, I'm a runner. Yeah. Even though I probably didn't deserve to call myself a runner because I'd only been doing
short enough yet.
Yes, but I still got into that mode exactly because I'm like, dude, I know what's coming ahead. I got this big.
So when you woke up in the morning, you would think about running.
Yeah.
Because it was such a large goal in a short period of time. Every thought was like, fuck, should I be running? Should I be stretching? Should I be dead? And you're because of a large, large goal. And you've texted me multiple, dude, I'm scared as shit, but excited as shit. Yeah. Right. And the old cliche thing of like, do your goals scare you? Like, I never really understood that as a younger entrepreneur, because usually you're just your next goal, whatever that next threshold is. If you make 80 grand a year, you just want to break 100. Right. You make 100 grand a year. You want to make 150. You make 150, right, then two. And then you kind of just inch it up. Right. Because it seems like it's there. It's tangible rather than something fucking just stupid that people will laugh at. I bet you've told a few people that you're going to run 38 miles and they were like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you get quite the reaction out of it because the common individual cannot wrap their head around doing something so extreme in such a short time frame. But that also shows you what can be done if you draw a hard line and say, this is what's going to happen, whether it's chewing. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, how do you quit chewing? Like when I say I'm going to quit chewing on December 31st, I dump the chew down the toilet. And then the next day I don't chew, just as what you were saying, you identify as it. But habits are so powerful to the point on this book that talks about the brain. It says it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what your habits are. And they'll prove it because mm-hmm. they'll tell you, they're going to put you on a bicycle and they'll tell you, and if you want to turn right, this bicycle is made that you turn the bars left and it'll go right. And then they'll hand you the bike and they'll tell you to ride it down the street. You, with the knowledge of knowing, in order to turn right, you've got to turn left. And what does everybody do when they get on the bike? If they want to go right, they start turning right and the bike turns left. Because that's how powerful habit is. Knowledge is not enough. You have to apply a routine around the knowledge that you have in order to actually become that thing. Does that make sense?
Well, changing your habits consistently changes your beliefs, which changes your identity. And that's what I've liked about, like, you guys, right? Like, I meet people all the time. They're like, well, I'm an addict. And so, like, every day is a struggle for me. I've been clean 7 years or whatever it is, right? But I'm still an addict, right? It's like, I never hear you guys say that stuff. And I'm not knocking on that because that might work for some people. But, like, you guys don't identify as addicts. It's like, boom, you close the door. It's like, that's not.
Well, what's the new challenge?
Yeah, that's not what's my life the, anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't identify as that. So you don't go around being like, well, I'm an addict. So
that's an old challenge that you that you've overcome. Right. Like that's like, again, that's the old saying of continuing to say that I won state in high school as a football player and you're 45 or 50 years old or whatever it is. Right. When are you going to create a new win? Yeah, but I think addicts, a lot of addicts, and you've probably seen this too, and they'll celebrate, you know, 5 years clean or 6 years continue. Cool. I'm 100%. But some of them encompass and engulf their life that I became clean. And like, that's their claim to fame is that they used to be a fuck up and now they're clean. And I think it's good to highlight that you were an addict and that you've overcome it to show people that it's possible. But when you live a life of this is who I am and you're identifying as that, I think it's dangerous to live in that mode over and over mm-hmm. and over mm-hmm. when it's better to say, yeah, I've overcome that. But this is what I'm looking to accomplish now. I'm trying to do this or this or this, continuing to reinvent yourself. You just reinvented yourself from being a drug addict to not. That was a form of reinvention, but I'm not going to celebrate the day that I went from not exercising to exercising or the day that I didn't run to now become a runner.
Yeah, I think one thing I've learned here this year is you need to be a convicted serial killer. And what I mean by that is, without a shadow of doubt, like you have to murder yourself. Right? Over. Like you gotta keep killing yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not disputed. It's not hung jury or like it's guilty, dude. Like you fucking murdered yourself.
Yeah.
The old you would not do what the new you is doing.
But that's what you should set your goal as, is things that the old version of you couldn't or wouldn't do, right? And that's how you outgrow yourself, or in other words, become the serial killer that you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't think it's by coincidence that last month we had, a record month. I don't think it's a coincidence that like I'm in the best shape of my life. Like probably 10 years ago when I first started dating Ariel, when I was single and, doing sit-ups, shit like that. Right. I'm in the best shape now, like cardio wise, like lifting, all that kind of fun stuff.
Your pull-up game was weak though when I saw that a month ago.
Yeah, it's strong now. Like we can go handle this right now.
I've never not sent it on a challenge,
Like, and I'm 30 pounds heavier than you. So you want to grab a 30 pound weight too?
You weighed 180. I saw you on your fucking thing, bro.
183.
I'll fucking clock in at 171 or 172 just the other day. I gained 9 pounds the last week and a half gearing up for this son of a bitch. I know,
eating a lot of carbs, right?
Hell yeah.
Well, despite everything that you've been through, the lawsuit and grinding and keeping your team put together, you've always had a badass product, and we didn't really talk a lot about that, but we are coming up close to time. So I want people to know what you do, because there's a reason. Like Danny and I have networked together for a lot of years, because us being in an accounting firm, it's like we need to bring value to our customers, right? And there's a lot of people that don't realize like the power of like his product, right? Like tax deferring, long-term, you know, retirement benefit plans, rolling your IRAs or solo or 401ks into a solo one, borrowing against it, the self-directed power, like all that stuff, right? They don't understand it, but we utilize it as an accounting firm. We send our people to Danny and he gets them taken care of, but it's something that a lot of people don't know about, so they don't do. And so I do want you to like hit on what it is you do before we wrap up.
Outside of fucking 40 pull-ups.
Yeah.
Outside of the only 40 pull-ups that you do.
So big problem we solve in the marketplace is helping people access money in their 401k, IRAs, penalty, and tax-free. And right now, the market's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was getting my hair cut the other day, and this lady asked me what I'm at like great clips, bro. Like, just, you know, average place.
Better than the place you were visiting during COVID.
Yes, that's true. So this lady's cutting my hair. She's like, what do you do for work? I'm like, I own a company that does IRA and 401ks. And she's like, oh, I just got divorced. I inherited his 401k. And right.
Oh, he died? Yes, his old version died. And, that's what we're talking about.
And, he's dead to me. Not his money.
And he's broke.
Yeah. He's dead and broke.
And she's like, all I know is this 401k is losing money and the stock market sucks. Can we talk? Right. Yeah. So like everyone is talking about the market going down. Yeah. Right. So if you got an IRA 401k, you're probably a little worried. So what we do is we help people liberate, essentially free up their 401k IRA, access that bad boy penalty and tax free. And they can use that money to fund their own business, invest in real estate, invest into private equity, precious metals, a bunch of cool stuff outside the stock market. So I mean, I've talked to a lot of people in your guys' network where, you know, we've helped them tap into their retirement accounts, penalty and tax-free to start an online business, right? Yeah, like maybe they needed $20,000 to buy some inventory for their Amazon business. And they like the idea of using their retirement account to fund their business.
Yep.
That's an IRS approved strategy. Like this is legal. It's been around for decades. It's just not talked about because Wall Street doesn't make money this way. Right. Yep. So that's one big way that we help people. And what were you were talking about, Kale, earlier, as far as like taking maybe money from your business, you can contribute into something like a solo 401k and you can contribute up to like $62,000 a year into that and either get the deferral or it could be Roth or that money can grow 100% tax free. So,
And then in your retirement ages, it's like you can obviously start drawing from it. Right. But like, we're not going to have all the tax deductions and all that stuff. Maybe you sold your business, whatever, but you're still going to, you need to outlive your money. Right. And so, you know, like I like it for me, like, so if you don't have a 401k sitting there from your corporate days and now you're a business owner, or now you want to self-direct it, but you want to just set one up and start funding one, you can also do that with Danny. And I think I text you just not too long ago about like, yo bro, I need to actually get that set up because I need to take money off the freaking taxation right now. I need to take it off the books by deferring it right now. And so it's pretty huge that I can defer $62,000 after I pay my kids, after I do Augusta, after I do all the different strategies out there that we know about. It's like, I still need to move some more money, but I still want to be able to access it. And so like, I could be like, okay, here's $62,000 a year that I'm deferring into Danny, into Danny's product, right? Which is my 401k. And then, oh, if I need to borrow against that, like say my kid's getting married and wants a $30,000 wedding and I'm an idiot and want to pay that for him, like I can borrow against that as a loan and pay myself back with interest. But if I want to self-direct that money into some other investments that I want to control, I can also do that. And so that's what's powerful about your product. And that's why we refer a lot of our clients over there.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest myths that people have is when they have a retirement account, they think they can't access that money until they're old.
Yeah.
And they think that they can't use that money other than buying a mutual fund.
Yeah, they're like, it's locked up. Says I can't access it until I'm 65. I mean, that's what
Dave Ramsey told me, right? Yeah. Like, that's the old school, right? The the new school, and it's actually kind of a hybrid because self-directed retirement accounts have been around for decades.
Yeah,
It's been around a really long time. It's just this new school way of thinking now. You've got YouTube, you've got masterminds, you've got podcasts, you have a lot more platforms to bring the information to the masses like we're doing right now, where more and more people are understanding, holy crap, I didn't know what a self-directed retirement account was. I didn't know I could access my money penalty and tax-free and invest it into an Everbull, right? Like we've got clients that have self-directed plans with us, and instead of using the money to buy a mutual fund, they bought, you know,
a franchise.
Crumble. Yeah. Everbull, right? Yeah. So just a bunch of different cool things that, you know, where you have ultimate control. And typically, they're accounts for entrepreneurs, and they align with entrepreneurs because we start a business for what? Control.
Right.
Control of our time, our money. So why not look at controlling your retirement accounts too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It didn't sound like you had a whole lot of control over your time and money for a short period of time there in 2020, though.
No,
I became an entrepreneur to control time and money.
I was not an ideal client. Yeah, yeah.
Not at that time, anyways. Back on top now. But so if somebody wants to connect with you and they want to know more, how do they connect with you? Where do they? You prefer a website connection? They hit you up on Instagram?
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. It is $9.95 or $9.99 a month just to stay connected with him. With all the cardio he's been doing, and now he went from 40 pull-ups to 100 based upon, I don't know, probably a trainer or somebody really smart that he lifted with once. His OnlyFans has been really popping up with that extra cardio and those extra pull-ups. So,
yeah, no, they can go to danielblue.me. So it's danielblue, just like the color, .me. And there they can check out a bunch of free content, a bunch of articles. I've got a book.
Is that like a website, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, someone has danielblue.com, dude. Like, it's,
dang it.
Yeah, it's like some musician. Mm. Yeah, bro, imagine that.
Like, slide into his DMs.
Have you checked DannyBlue.com?
Yes,
that's taken too.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Someone,
dot me.
Yeah, dot me.
It is you.
It is.
Shit him up. Be like, yo, cousin, give me my name back. Makes sense,
yeah, so.
But they have access to you there, like via your Instagram. Like, what that is a site where they could see everything, your podcast, your Instagram, all that.
My
right?
book, my course, Forbes articles, social media.
A way to connect with you via the business if they want to talk about 401k
if they want to jump on a call. So that's the hub, DannyBlue.com. Me.
Well, we're T minus what, 5, 6, 7 hours from sending 38 miles.
Yeah.
So it's fucking nerve wracking.
6 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
hands are sweaty.
Yeah. Everything is. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. You know, it's always fun to get D Blue back in the office and be able just to spend quality time with you. I already told you today, you get me to do things other people don't get me to do, like go out and shit. Didn't work today just because, you know, situations, but it is what it is. Guys, make sure you connect with them for real. If you have a 401k and it's just sitting there, it's losing money, you've had ideas or thoughts, those ideas and thoughts have been given to you for you to do something with, right? And so if you have access to money through a 401k, or you don't think you have access to money through your 401k, hit up Danny and he can say, hey, this is how you can get access to it, or hey, this is the situation in order for you to be able to make it happen, and he'll facilitate that. So if you have thoughts or ideas on ways that you could take the money you have and create more of a trickle income on a month-to-month basis through investments, hit him up and he'll point you in the right direction.
Hit him up for anything. Pull up competitions.
Fucking, if you're somebody's turning 50 miles and want to invite him to a 50-miler, he'll probably say yes and then talk some shit and actually do it, you know, because that's what he does. Yep. So. Guys, make sure that you share this episode with somebody that has the ability to benefit from it. Make sure that you're rating and reviewing. And if you have any tax, entity, bookkeeping questions, refer to the number that we shared at the beginning of the podcast. We're happy to serve and we're happy to help. Other than that, kick ass. Take care. See you next week.
Peace.